In a moment, we're going to talk about government secrets as it is directly related to UFOs. John Greenwald Jr. back with us. His website, several of them. One is theblackvault.com, governmentsecrets.com as well. He's got a book called Beyond UFO Secrecy. He's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Back in 1996, John Greenwald Jr. began researching the secret inner workings of the U.S. government. It was the age of 15 years old then. He targeted such groups as the CIA, the FBI, Pentagon, Air Force, Army, Navy, NSA, the DIA, countless others. Greenwald utilized the Freedom of Information Act to gain access to thousands of those records. And he accumulated just an astonishing number of documents on topics related to UFOs, the JFK assassination, top secret aircraft, and so much more. Time elapsed in which John Greenwald's online archive became known globally as the Black Vault. His teenage project turned into the largest private online collection anywhere in the world. Nearly 1.5 million pages of material. At the age of 21, John published his first book, Beyond UFO Secrecy. In 2002, it was later put into a second expanded edition, republished in January 2008. He is back with us on Coast to Coast, John Greenwald Jr. And you have been busy, my friend. Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Thank you, George. Thank you.
Geez, John, we have watched over the years of this show your growth, both in age and in knowledge about secrecy, UFOs. Both have been incredible. What a great run you've had, my friend.
I appreciate that. Yeah, this year's going to be my 20th year, actually, since I started filing Freedom of Information Act requests. And over the years, I've calculated it's about 5,500 that I can easily show, but I know it's well over that. I don't know the exact number, but it's been a wild ride. Like you said, about 1.5 million pages of declassified material. So, yeah, wild ride is kind of putting it lightly.
What got you involved in this, John, a long time ago?
You know, I wish I had a much more exciting story for you. It really came down to curiosity, and here we are 20 years later, and that's still what drives me. I never had an experience, because in my experience anyway, that's where you hear a lot of people get their interest. But I never had any unexplained encounter or sighting. I just, at 15 years old, kind of got struck by this curiosity of, you know, what was it to this UFO topic? And honestly, when I first started researching it, it was, well before even Google was Google. You would actually use, you know, Alta Vista was the big search engine at the time for computer geeks out there like myself. And that's what we would use. And, you know, even then you would search and get hundreds of thousands of UFO pages. And I had, at this point, had not filed a FOIA request. I didn't even know what the FOIA was, what the Freedom of Information Act was. And you look into the UFO topic, and you still have this problem today where you read the same case stories or same witness, quote-unquote, testimony, and depending upon the website you go to, you get these different facts. And I couldn't really make sense of it all, but I was really curious. And I kind of made what was the best decision of my life, but it was the stupidest. And I thought to myself, you know, if anybody's going to tell me the truth, and if I'm going to get to the truth, it'll be the United States government that'll give it to me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how dumb is that, of course? But at the time, I thought, well, that's at least irrefutable. And I started filing FOIA requests and went after documents, and in time just kind of kept collecting and kept putting them online. And here we are 20 years and 1.5 million pages later.
And here you are indeed. In terms of the computer age, where we are today, has that made your job easier?
Shockingly, no. You would think that, because I've wrestled with this a lot, like why is it so much harder now to get documents than it was back then? And I'm not sure why that is, but there was a recent study by the Associated Press where they went and analyzed the literally hundreds of thousands of FOIA requests that the United States government is receiving. And this last year, 2015, actually holds the record for the highest number, percentage-wise, highest percentage of cases where the government says, well, sorry, we can't find anything. And they give what's called a no records determination, where they just say they can't find it. And it kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder, well, are they just not doing searches anymore? Because you think with this day and age and technology and search engines and, you know, and not even Google, I'm talking about like internal searches where they can easily search millions and millions and millions of pages of material in literally seconds for FOIA requesters, and yet they're setting records for telling people like me, hey, we have nothing on what you're requesting. And I do have multiple examples where the government will tell me, sorry, John, we have nothing on, you know, whatever I'm requesting. And I learn later on that they, in fact, do have documents. They'll either release them on their own accord, maybe post them on their website, or they will release them to another requester and I'll see them by accident. And, you know, that also makes you kind of scratch your head because you think, by law, and this is not just me being selfish, by law they have to search. They don't need to do it because I'm asking for it. They need to because that's what the law says. And yet they're piling up the number of times where they've told me, sorry, we have nothing, and in reality they may have hundreds or thousands of pages on something. So why isn't the technology helping? And I'm not really sure. Is it a grand government conspiracy and cover-up that's the culprit of this? Is it laziness? I kind of lean towards that a little bit. I hate to say it that way, but I think some people just don't want to do their due diligence when it comes to searching for documents. Or is it just that technology is not helping at this level and they're not utilizing it to its fullest potential? And I'm not really sure what the right answer is.
What has been for you the most revealing document you think you've ever uncovered?
When it comes to the UFO topic, for me, it's hard to pick one. I focus on the grander scale first and look at the big picture. And for me, I kind of put these documents together like a puzzle. And when you start fitting the documents together, they start to essentially paint a picture. And the crazy part about the UFO phenomena is the minute that you think you're actually completing that puzzle, that you realize it's just you're putting together a piece of an even bigger one, and it goes and goes and goes. Some of the most compelling evidence, quite frankly, is when you look at the public, what I call the company line, the public statement, what the United States government and military wants you and I to believe about the UFO phenomena, and what they say at the press podiums and press statements. And it's even getting some revival here with Hillary Clinton saying on the Jimmy Kimmel show, I think it was, where, you know, that she would look into the UFO topic again. It kind of gets revived. But that company line is that there's nothing to this. And they did their investigation with what was called Project Blue Book. And for 22 years, from 47 to 1969, the military looked into the topic and concluded there was absolutely nothing to it. Okay, so that became the basis to what I call, again, that company line. So no matter what government agency you go to, they will reference their investigation way back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and they say, John, George, this is what we found out. There's nothing there. We don't care about the UFO phenomena, and we stopped in 1969. For me, that's been kind of the catalyst for my research because, again, that company line, I challenge it all the time. And every single government agency that you go to 100% contradicts that company line, meaning it isn't true. There are thousands of documents that you can then pile up. So I know you asked for one, and I'm kind of using this as one example.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can pile up thousands of documents that are classified, meaning that many of them are blacked out, top to bottom, top secret, that stretch well beyond that 1969 cutoff date, and essentially they should not exist, and yet they do. And so my question then becomes, well, why is it that you're saying that there's nothing here, and yet the UFO phenomena, in my opinion, out of every government secret that I've looked into, is the most challenging for me to get to the bottom of it. And there are the highest stamps of classification that could be put on these documents by the U.S. government. Why is that? And when you start really using just a little bit of common sense and logic, when I do public speaking, those are the two things that I always tell the audience to use. That's all you need is common sense and logic. And when you look at these documents, it tells you a much bigger picture than what they want you to believe. So that, to me, is one of the biggest pieces of evidence. Not to make it too broad for you, George, but that essentially is, for me, a big piece of the evidence. Then you got to drill down and see, okay, well, what are these documents saying? And the next step in my personal journey, anyway, and I kind of throw this out to those listening, is that you have to look at what these documents are saying and what skeptics want you to believe UFOs are. And you try and line them up. And in my opinion, common sense and logic will start to scratch out every single explanation that a skeptic wants to give to the UFO phenomena. You can scratch them all out. So you're not really left with a lot of explanations other than, is this something, I hate to say, otherworldly, but you're kind of only left with that. Because again, common sense tells us that a top secret military aircraft would not be a UFO to the United States military, right? It just doesn't make sense. And so when you request UFO material from the military, and the military has no idea what the objects are, and we know that because the documents say they're unidentified, then we can start scratching those types of explanations off.
John, do you get a lot of documents that are blacked out?
Yes. And that's part of the puzzle, where you ask yourself, well, what's so classified about this? Because if they did their investigation and there's nothing to it, if it's swamp gas or the planet Venus or a meteorite or whatever they want to, slap on these things, what is so top secret about that? Now, there's certain things that should be blacked out, and everybody should know this and understand that that's normal. You should have things that are blacked out, names, personal identifying information, what they call sources and methods, if intelligence comes from a certain source overseas or something like that. There are certain exemptions that allows the government, and rightfully so, to black information out. With the UFO phenomena, in a lot of cases, they won't even give you the documents because they'll say they're completely classified. Or, in some cases, they'll black out the majority of what's on the page. And it's rather humorous, kind of flipping through these things, not one or two, but hundreds and hundreds of them, flipping through page after page after page of blacked out top to bottom. And you got to ask yourself, what are they hiding when it comes to this phenomena, if they're so adamant that there's nothing there?
John, a lot of people think that if Hillary Clinton is elected president because of John Podesta behind her, that we're going to get to the bottom of the UFOs. I'm not sure that's the case. What do you think?
I agree with you, and here's why. I produced a History Channel documentary now quite a few years ago, but it was one of the first ones that I did in my career as a television producer, and it was called UFOs in the White House. And I'm very proud of it. It was on History Channel, and it showed the connection all the way back to Roosevelt to, at the time, President George W. Bush, to kind of give a little bit of a time stamp of when this was. But then it was sitting President George W. Bush, who was in office, and it showed the UFO connection between all these different presidents. And you see that a lot of them made these promises that they were going to look into the UFO topic, quite a few of them. And yet they get into office and absolutely nothing happens. Was it a broken promise, or was there nothing to find? That's not for me to really say.
Or were they told to get out?
Exactly. And I think that there is a level where the United States will cut off the president from knowing some of these classified secrets. And I think that might sound silly and very conspiratorial, but it makes sense, because they're the front guy. They're the face of the nation. They're in the public spotlight. So they're not going to know some of, I hate to say it, but they're not going to know some of our deepest, darkest secrets. And history has proven that. And history has proven that not only the president, but quite a few other leaders of these intelligence agencies are not privy to what is going on under their nose. And history has shown that. So I think that you really do have to consider the possibility that the president is simply going to either be denied or just told to keep their mouth shut about the topic, because it's not in the right to know for the American public. So going back to the Hillary Clinton thing, I saw a lot of headlines in the last few weeks about Hillary Clinton and what she said on Kimmel. And I know a lot of people want to think that she might be a disclosure president if she's elected. But as this, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you sit on. She has said publicly that she has to work for every single vote. And Bernie Sanders has given her a run for her money. And I think we have to consider that the conspiracy crowd, as much as I hate that label, but those that want to know the truth about the UFO topic, they're casting a vote too. So you can't say to that percentage of the public, which is roughly 50% that think that the UFOs are alien connected or that there's a cover up and so on. I don't remember the exact statistic, but it's about half. That if you start labeling those people as crazy, you're not going to get that vote on election day. And so she had to say what she did and kind of leave it open ended.
That's right.
Now, when she gets into office, I don't think anything's going to happen. Why? Because history in the past quite a few decades has never given us anything worthwhile by politicians who have given the same promise.
I think you're right. We talked last year, John, when the CIA made some headlines about new UFO information. Did anything ever come of that?
No, and it's sad. And this plays into, I think, kind of a big problem here in the 21st century. Is that the media doesn't care about the facts. They just care about the headline on
what's
going to get a click.
Never follow up either.
And they never follow up, and that's what's sad. I think that there's a lot of important UFO material out there. The CIA, I think, has a lot of important material. But it wasn't new, not anything I saw anyway. My fight with the CIA was roughly about 18, 19 years ago. And it was a considerable fight to try and get the CIA to declassify the UFO material. They had released about 1,000 pages through the 1970s and 80s under the FOIA. And I was still in grade school when they had done that. But when I got into high school and started fighting, I was looking for the UFO documents after they had released this initial bunch. And it literally took years for me and a few other FOIA requesters to fight for these things, but eventually they came out. The headlines that surfaced last year was kind of a rehash of what has been out for quite a few years. And so it kind of makes you wonder, well, why are they making such a big deal out of this? Because this material has already been out there. What the media should be asking is why are some of them still classified? The CIA didn't offer that up. And the media didn't profile that. So I hate to diminish kind of what's there because it is very important, but there's more there. And I think that was largely missed last year by the media, where I think that they just wanted the clicks of, hey, new UFO material's out. The CIA released it, so it has to be legit. When in reality, I think the CIA then just used it as a PR campaign. And they did a good job. I'm not saying they did anything wrong. But they did it as a PR campaign. The media latched onto it, and they essentially said, hey, look, the CIA is being really open, and here's some documents that Fox Mulder would want, and here's some that Scully would want, and, you know, yippee, and then a week later it's gone.
If you were running government, John, would you do the same thing, or would you disclose?
You know, that's a tough question, because I do think a large percentage, and I may get a lot of hate mail after this, I think a certain percentage, I won't even say large, a percentage of our public probably couldn't handle the truth. And
well, a few good men. Remember Jack Nicholson? That's exactly what he said.
I caught myself after I said that. I didn't mean to quote a movie, but I do think that there's something to that. And I think that the public, there is that percentage that would not be able to handle a full disclosure, given the assumption that it's, you know, everything is connected to aliens and we've been in contact and we've known about it. I think you would have a huge reaction from the public. Now, maybe those listening to your program, they probably wouldn't have that reaction. But I think you would have a very, very kind of critical point where religions would then start to question quite a few years of teachings and belief systems. And you would have a lot of challenges then to
sure.
what we've been kind of raised to believe.
They could collapse. John, we're going to come back. And look, I have to ask you when we come back, if you stumbled across other kinds of information when you were looking for these documents. And welcome back to Coast. We'll take your phone calls with John Greenwald Jr. next hour. And John, before we get into some of the other things you might have come across as you were investigating the UFOs, lots of other strange things there. Did you ever come across any MJ-12 documents? And of course, that was the group apparently that was set up during the Truman era. What was it?
Yeah, I kind of attacked the MJ-12 thing in a different way. I mean, you've got some amazing researchers out there, namely my dear friend Stanton Friedman, who's done amazing work, kind of drilling into these alleged leaked documents that show much more of a deeper, grander cover up and conspiracy and related to the UFO ET phenomena. But I kind of tackled it a different way. I started going after the government records on the members themselves, and actually found that pretty much everyone, with the exception of one, I believe, actually has an FBI file. You can go in there and download and see exactly, you know, what the FBI was kind of watching these guys for, or what their investigation was, or, you know, how they got tied up into an FBI investigation. Now, although that doesn't prove an MJ-12 connection, it does show that if these documents were created, they did have quite a bit of research behind them. That meaning the alleged members of MJ-12, these were players that essentially were pretty high up in the government, that they were pretty much being watched at every angle, that they were finding themselves entwined in many different types of investigations. So it was kind of an interesting find. But the other big thing about it, and I've collected FBI files on celebrities and sports stars and actors and actresses and politicians and so on and so forth, MJ-12 had a pretty high percentage of files that were completely destroyed. Now, although they did release some documents on some of the members, they did say that many of the files associated with those people were destroyed. I don't run into that often when I'm requesting files, and I found that very interesting. What exactly was destroyed? When you look at the dates of when these documents were destroyed, they started coinciding a little bit. I mean, there wasn't like an exact date when MJ-12 kind of started surfacing, but around the time where these documents first started to really kind of circulate, and that's around the time when these FBI files were destroyed. Now, is there a connection? I don't know, but it was a little bit of a strange coincidence that, you know, I've requested probably well over 1,000 FBI files, and they're fascinating to read on a lot of different people. But why is it then again that the MJ-12 members, the alleged members, many of them had a large portion of their files destroyed? And I've got all the FBI signed letters stating as such. And that actually ties into an even bigger picture, and actually going back to your question about Hillary Clinton and what if she did do some kind of investigation on looking into the UFO phenomena, she would probably come up with the same conclusion that I did, and that is that the government now is claiming, namely the National Security Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency, that they have lost 100% of their UFO documents. Now, the ones that I was talking about earlier, the ones that were blacked out, top secret, classified material, you can request what's called a mandatory declassification review under the Freedom of Information Act. And what that essentially means is if they release something and they black it out in 1995, here in 2016, it may not be classified anymore, and you can request a review of that. And so I did to the NSA and the DIA and requested all the UFO information be reviewed and see if anything could be released. So instead of having piles of blacked out pages, maybe we can actually get a little bit closer to the truth and see what they have been hiding. And the NSA was the first to tell me that they lost everything. Now, how do you do that? They claim that they blacked out everything and somehow misplaced the originals. Now, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but be that as it may, I moved on. Finally got a response from the Defense Intelligence Agency. They had the exact same story, that they could not find anything. And here we are with quite a few advances in technology. And when I first requested the information from the Defense Intelligence Agency back in the late 90s, you know, 1996, 1997, they gave me hundreds of pages, some of which were very heavily blacked out, but they gave them to me. Now in 2014, 2015, and 2016, when I've been fighting for an MD, what's called a DMDR, they claim they can't find anything. So what happened to them? So that, I think, is what, if they're telling the truth, that if Clinton really does, if she gets elected and she does what she says and does an investigation, that she will run into a brick wall. And I hope that if she is being honest, that she'll take it to the next level and start asking questions, because I think that's a very important piece of this puzzle, where now we have lost all of that information. It's according to them, it's gone. So there's never, ever, ever going to be the truth in regards to these documents ever to come out, because according to them, they've been destroyed.
Jeez. Okay, John, let's talk about some of the other things that you may have come across in your investigation of UFOs that were totally unrelated to UFOs. What was out there?
Yeah, when I first started, one of the things that you got to learn about the Freedom of Information Act is it takes time and it involves a lot of patience. And so although I started my FOIA journey with UFO information, I kind of had to fill the time while I was waiting for documents to come. So I started tackling all these other types of government secrets and so on. And there's some amazing history out there. I mean, one for an example, I had learned a couple years ago, had read a reference that the U.S. government had made a contingency plan for a zombie apocalypse. Now, I kind of laughed it off, thinking, oh, okay, there's no way that this actually is real, and a document had kind of surfaced and quote-unquote leaked out. And so I thought, okay, there's no way that this is real. And it took about a year and a half, filed some FOIA requests, and sure enough, it's called Conplan 8888, and I have it on theblackvault.com. Anybody can download it. It is genuine. They actually have a kind of a contingency plan that if the zombie apocalypse ever were to happen, what are we going to do? Now, they claim it's just a training exercise, and parts of it are pretty silly, where, you know, well, it's about zombies, so I guess you can argue that the whole thing is a little silly. But they talk about different types of zombies and how would we essentially react as a society. And you look through this thing, and although it's humorous, you really start to realize how much the government really has in their archives about just about everything. And so when I found that, I found references to not only that contingency plan, but also in what's called the Intellipedia. The intelligence community actually has their own, we'll call it their own Wikipedia. It's pretty much the same thing, but classified. And sure enough, they had pages on, again, this Conplan 8888 about the zombie apocalypse and references to it. And it was considered top secret, had the top secret stamps on it. So it was a really kind of interesting find, but it really, again, just fits into this bigger picture that there's a lot there that we just don't know when it comes to the government. And one thing I learned over the years is when you try and prove one conspiracy, you may need evidence from a completely different one. And the reason I say it that way is history starts to show us that a lot of these quote-unquote crazy theories that we're talking about in the 21st century, it was only a couple decades ago where documents will actually prove that the government has been doing stuff like this. For example, chemtrails.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what to believe about chemtrails. Are they spraying us or not? I know you've done quite a few shows on it. You've had some amazing guests on that have done a lot more research than I have when it comes to is the government or military spraying us with whatever. But when you look at documents in the past, this is not anything new. This is something that they've done in the past for different reasons, some of which was weather control. They had a program during the Vietnam era where they were spraying certain chemicals in the sky over Vietnam to turn a clear day into a cloudy one for strategic purposes, so the Vietnamese couldn't see what was flying overhead. So they have these programs in the past that are becoming declassified where we can start to read it. And in my opinion, that history starts to show that these quote-unquote crazy theories here in 2016 are not that far-fetched, because history shows us they've done it in the past. And if they've done it in the past, my guess is they're probably doing it now.
When these documents are released, John, and you find them, why are they even in there? I know they have to be there by law, but you would think something sinister would occur, and they'd hide them and not put them in there and not make them available.
You're talking about UFO documents?
Anything, documents? Just about anything. Why do they put it in writing like that?
I'm going to be an optimist here and say it's because they have to. Deep down, do I believe that? I'm not sure, but I'm hoping that it's because they're trying to adhere to a law, a United States law, that gives us access to information, and I'm hoping that that's what it is. When you look at the evidence of the information, let's just talk about UFOs again. But when you talk about the cases that you can read, and they're not classified, and a lot of these UFO cases are something that we cannot explain to this day. I'll bring up the 1976 Iran incident off the top of my head. It was the first document that I ever got. In short, you had a UFO sighting that had not one, not two, but three separate UFO craft come out of an initial craft. So essentially in the science fiction realm, you'd call that a mothership kind of scenario. These UFOs strategically shut down two separate F-4 Phantom jets that were scrambled to go intercept this thing. It's an amazing story. And even though the words that you can read are amazing, to me, the most fascinating part of this is that you can read it, that the information was not blacked out.
Was that a mistake?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder, though, then if you can read that, and this was 1976, when you can read a document like that, what's under this top secret blacked out document that is now shredded and we'll never know?
Exactly.
But what's under that? You know, and I think that that's a big piece of evidence. So was it a mistake? Quite possibly. It's one that you can never undo. And here in the 21st century, when you make a mistake like that, there's kind of no going back. There's no saying, oops, give me that document back. Because in this day and age, you know, once something gets out there, as WikiLeaks is kind of proving, once it goes out there with the internet, there's no going back. So I think that they probably have a checks and balances system that they're not going to make a mistake. I mean, sure, there's human error, but I'm not sure. I think that they'll release some of this information willingly. But for me, the most fascinating part is there's still top secret UFO information that we can't see. With some agencies, it's again now destroyed. But for me, that's the most fascinating part of this whole puzzle, is what is underneath that black. Because when you put it against what you can read, it's a pretty big picture.
What are other governments doing with disclosure or release of documents? We know Nick Pope, he used to work for the British Ministry of Defense. He talks about documents. Are other countries better or worse than what we are?
I think you can argue both ways. Arguably, though, I would lean that they're more open with the general public with releasing information. But I would also give the friendly caveat that when it comes to other governments and UFO information, then you really have to consider that skeptical argument that it could be testing of our top secret technology that, you know, they're not just going to test it in the deserts of Area 51. When you're talking about craft that can go, you know, rumored to go Mach 5, Mach 6, and above, you know, you can't just do that and do circles in the deserts of New Mexico. And I think that essentially you're going to go overseas and you're going to test this in different grounds. And it does open up, in my opinion, does open up that possibility that you're seeing maybe a top secret American technology seen over Great Britain or seen over Argentina or seen over wherever that they just happen to see a weapons test. That's the skeptic in me coming out. But I think that, yes, governments are more open, but we do have a much larger possibility that when dealing with those documents, you do have something that is possibly a little bit more explainable and earth-based rather than something that could be potentially be otherworldly.
Explain how an FOIA request is done, John. I mean, do you have to specifically request certain documents and dates, or do they just send you things blanketly? What happens?
It depends on the agency. The way the FOIA works, it's actually pretty simple. It sounds scary and complicated. It's really not. When you file a FOIA request, you have to find the line between being too broad, because then they'll reject the request, and being too specific, because they play with your words a lot. You have to, again, not be too specific, as it will limit your request, but not be too broad, because they'll reject it. So you've got to find a little bit of a sweet spot on what you're asking for. What's odd in my experience, out of the thousands of requests, and again, the blackvault.com has a lot of these letters, so I would urge anybody, if you're interested in doing a FOIA request, take a look at those letters, because depending upon what agency you're dealing with, they deal with the FOIA in a different way. So one agency, you can say, you know, dear so-and-so, do the FOIA request. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but yeah. Give me everything you have on UFOs. And they'll have a kind of a packet of information. They'll send you 1,000 pages. That's how I got the CIA and the DIA material on UFOs. Other agencies, when you say, give me everything you have on UFOs, they say, well, that's too broad. And they say that they don't have the means to search their entire archive for UFO
material. And do you do this by email or in writing?
Originally, it was all 100% in writing. President Clinton, the best contribution he gave to this act was he passed the Electronic Freedom of Information Act, which then paved the way for a lot of agencies to start accepting them through email. So nowadays,
great.
A lot of them can't accept it. Unfortunately, there are still some old school agencies that don't want to do it. The CIA is one of them. You either have to fax it or mail it in. So you got to have to play the game. I mean, the example I use is, it's their game. They made it up. They're the referee. It's their rules, and you've got to play sitting on the bench with your hands tied behind your back, blindfolded, and you can't speak.
I mean, does every agency send out FOIA information? I mean, does Homeland Security do it? Does the FBI do it?
Every federal agency is subject to this act, so you can request from everywhere. The only exemption would be the White House. That is a presidential records do not apply. And so that's a nice little convenient fact there. And also a select few other agencies. One in particular, ironically, is the receiving end of UFO information that I had discovered that the Air Force was still collecting UFO information, and they were sending it to NORAD.
Oh, really? So Project Blue Book really didn't die, did it?
No, not at all. And in fact, it's a pretty interesting story on when a major media outlet put the spotlight on that document, what happened to it.
Let's talk about that when we come back. John, give us your websites, would you?
Sure. It's www.theblackvault.com. That'll give you access to the 1.5 million pages and quite a few case files as well. And then also www.governmentsecrets.com. Which is more of a news site, blog site, kind of profiling government secrets and what's coming out.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about this latest document, and then we'll take phone calls for the final hour with John Greenwald right here on Coast to Coast AM.